Happy New Year, church family. Y'all ready to worship with us? Let's go. Come on.
I believe there's one salvation, one doorway that leads to life, one redemption, one confession. I believe in the name of Jesus Christ. I believe in the crucifixion. By his blood I have been set free. I believe in the resurrection. Hallelujah, his life is death's defeat.
Amen.
Praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. How God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name I believe.
Imagine ears have heard or eyes have seen.
I believe that a day is coming. He's returning to claim his bride. Light the altar, keep it burning. See the Lamb who rose a roaring lion. All praise to God the Father. All praise to Christ the Son. All praise to the Holy Spirit. How God has overcome. The King who was and is and evermore will be. In Jesus' mighty name I believe.
Oh, you know I Good morning, Westgate Chapel. How are we doing? Doing good. Let's go. Who's having a great New Year so far? Yeah, who has been sticking to their New Year's resolutions? Ooh, that was a little quiet on that one. Hey, I'm so glad you guys are here this morning, that you've chosen to worship with us at Westgate. My name is Dan. I'm the student ministries pastor here. And I'm pumped. If this is your first time here, or you've been coming for a little bit, and you're just now like thinking, like, I think I want to get connected here, the pews in front of you, we have a Connect card. And that's just a great way for us to get connected with you, for you to get connected with us, to learn a little bit about who we are as Westgate Chapel. And so if you'd want to fill that out, if you're ready to, if you're like, man, this is the day I want to figure more out, you could fill it out and go put it back. We have like these boxes that say giving on them. You can slide this in there, or you can go give it to a real human out in the main entrance in our guest services, and they would love to take that, give you a gift, and answer any questions that you might have about anything that we do here at Westgate. Also, there should have been out there our sermon notes. And so that's a great way for you to stay connected with the sermon and stay engaged and be able to follow along with what Adam's going to be talking about this morning. Again, I'm glad you guys are here. Super pumped for what God has for us this morning. And also, super pumped for what God has for our high school students this summer. We are going to this conference called Life 2025. Who in here has heard of the Alliance Life Conference? Raise your hand. Okay, we got some woos. That's what I'm talking about. And so who's actually been to Life Conference in here? Okay, just a few. All right, awesome. Life Conference, the Alliance has been doing it for a long time. What it is, I think it's the coolest thing we do in the Alliance, a little biased, but also the coolest thing we do in high school ministry. Is every 3 years we get to go and be a part of something way bigger than Westgate Chapel, but it's like it's all of Alliance students, high schoolers. So it's like 6,000 to 8,000 of us come together in one place to worship together, to learn about God together, to grow deeper in our faith, to be challenged in our faith. And I think it's an incredible week long thing for these students. But I realize as I think about life and we go. I think Westgate's gone, ever since I've been here, we've gone. I went to Life Conference when I was 16. But a lot of us, like, only so many of you raise your hands. And so you're like, what does it even look like? What does it sound like? What does it even do? And so what I want to do is I want you guys to just watch a little video with real students, real testimonies, just to give you a little piece of understanding of what this weekend is all about, or this week is all about. Go ahead and play that video, please.
First big session, God was just speaking to me.
People were in there worshiping, praising the Lord.
Hands up, hands out, hugging people, crying with people.
The whole group of Puerto Rico, we were there singing and praising God.
The presence of Christ in front of me was so strong.
It just reminds me what heaven is kind of going to be like someday.
I'm getting chills just talking about it. And I was like, this is it. Like, this is where I'm supposed to be.
The light that Jesus offers us.
I'll go to the sermon, and it's like they're talking directly to me.
God has been telling me that I need to take that next step.
For one of the first times ever, I did something that I don't normally do, and that's open up to people.
The other people around me, they started to pray for me, and they started to talk to me about the Word of God.
This week at Life, I felt called to share my testimony.
I really cemented in my heart that I was called to missions.
I texted one of my youth leaders, and I said, I need to get saved tonight. I rededicated my life to Christ.
This week, I actually gave my heart to Him.
I gave my future over to Him.
And I got baptized today.
And so then I got baptized.
And I got baptized.
There's people that have been baptized in the pool.
And once I came out of the water, it was just a whole different feeling entirely.
I just felt free, like the anxiety and everything had lost its hold on me.
And now Satan doesn't have power over me anymore.
Amen, amen.
Experience
spectacular what God has done in our lives in just 1 week.
It really is life-changing. I mean, it did change my life.
It's very much worth every single cent.
There is a place for you here.
It's a place where you can surrender, where you can show yourself as you are, and no one will judge you.
A different person. Yeah. I'm a different person.
Literally.
And I can't wait to tell everybody at my church now.
No, literally.
Something is going to change you because something changed all of us.
Coming here is like the best decision that you can make in summer 2025.
And so that's just like a little piece. Every time I watch that video, it makes me cry a little bit. Just because like those stories, those students speaking, like those are real stories. These kids go on this trip and something does change in their life. And so I want every possible student to be able to go on this trip because I know how life-changing it really is. It changed my life. When I was 16 years old, I went on this trip, and that's where I felt God call me into full-time youth ministry. And I don't know if I'd be here right now if I didn't say yes to going to that trip. God could have showed up in different ways and all that, but that was a huge moment in my life going on that trip. And it might not be you getting called to ministry, but it might, as you saw that girl got called to missions. Kids are accepting Jesus for the first time, rededicating their lives, getting baptized, making decisions that are going to impact their lives way down in the future. And so I want students to go, as many students as possibly they can, but it's expensive. It's like just under $1,000 per student. And so we're going to be doing some fundraisers. Love the fundraisers. And we're going to be doing the Bullarama in a couple months. We're going to invite the church to be a part of that. But also coming up more closely is next Sunday, we're starting our first ever bake sale for life. And so I know it's the new year and like everyone's trying to like, you know, be careful with like what they're eating and all that. But we're going to be having this bake sale, having a bunch of goodies for you guys. And so if you want to come and help get these students to life, you can come donate, get a pie, get a sweet loaf, or you can just donate your money and not get anything. We're okay with that too. But we would just, I would love for our church to partner with these students and invest in these students' faith future. More importantly than like fundraising and stuff, like, man, I want kids to follow God, and things like this, they help with that and they cement things. And like that girl said from Puerto Rico, it's spectacular what God has done in our life in just 1 week. And so there's a lot of things we invest in for our kids, sports, academics. But if your kid isn't going, if you know a student that isn't going or maybe on the fence, I want to encourage you, get them there. Make it a priority. Do whatever you can because this week does do things. And this week is going to change their life. I really do believe that. I dig my heels into that. I'm an example of how this weekend changes your life. And all those other stories, real kids, real lives. And so, church, I would just love your partnership with this next generation, with these students, to help them get there and experience God in a new and different way. So I appreciate your help in advance. And with that, I'll just love you guys. Just really quick, say good morning to each other. Happy New Year. And maybe, man, what you're excited for in this next year. Go ahead, greet each other. Continue worshiping together.
Our God is worthy to be worshiped and to be praised. Yes, it is good to be together and it is good to worship together. And I want to ask you all, and I don't want you to answer out loud, but I want to ask you, what's something in your life that you're holding on to? What's something in your life that you have not surrendered to Him? I'm not talking about a New Year's resolution, but here in this new year, I am asking you, what's something in your life that you're holding on to that's keeping you from truly experiencing the freedom that Christ offers? The freedom that we have in God. Because even though most of us in here have given our lives to Jesus at one point, I think if we're all honest with each other, surrendering daily is something we struggle with. Can I get an amen? That's the struggle of walking this earth. and trying to abide with Christ as we are called to die to ourselves daily, because that's the only way we can truly experience the freedom that God offers us. But what's something that's holding you back? What's something that you struggle to surrender to Him? For these next few moments, when every head bowed and every eye closed, when anybody looking around, I want you to focus on just your walk with God. I want you to focus on your relationship with Christ here in this moment. I want you to begin to surrender to Him. You can do it out loud if you want, or you can do it quietly to yourself. The altar here is open up front if you want to come pray during the song. For the next few moments, I want you just to begin to surrender to God.
Thank you. As we come to a time of offering this morning, we have this. God's been good. God's been very good to all of us. And we worship in many different ways, through song, through word, through fellowship, and another way is also through giving, stewarding the resources that he has blessed us with. And we also then give back to him for the work of the church. And it's at that time where I'll go ahead and pray, and then we'll pass our offering buckets where we have an opportunity to give back for the work of the church. Lord Jesus, you are holy forever, who was and is to come. We praise you. We praise you this morning. We thank you. We give you our worship. We give you our praise. God, at this time, we give back financially our tithes and offerings. And God, we pray that you would use them for the growth of your church, for the spreading of the gospel, for people to begin relationship with you. We thank you and we love you. In your name, amen. You can go ahead, if you're in the center aisles, take those buckets. You can pass those to the sides. And if you're up in the balcony, they're on the edges, and you can pass them into the center. If we haven't had an opportunity to meet yet, my name is Adam Just, one of the pastors on staff, and get to be involved in a lot of different ways here at the church, and from time to time get to share the Word of God with you, and I get to do that this morning. As we kick off a series in Galatians over the next 2 months together, before we do that, I also wanted to highlight and mention a couple things. First, next Sunday we do have our life group sign-up event. That'll be after both services out in our West Cafe. If you're interested in learning more about a life group or trying to get connected in a life group, please head out next week and get to know some of our life group leaders and get signed up. Also, in your sermon notes, we have our classes brochure that's in there. One of them, dads and kids class. The kids are not in there. It's just for the dads to grow as dads. And that starts next week, along with in February, there's a class on disciple making. And then in March, a class about spiritual gifts. So you can sign up with the paper or through the app or website. And then kind of the big one, the final one I wanted to mention is on the back of the sermon notes. In 2 weeks is our annual meeting. So on the 19th, we have our annual meeting. And it gives us a few things. One, it gives us an opportunity as a church family to come together and have a meal together. So we'll worship together, and then we will have a meal together. And it would be great if you were coming to that, if you could fill out on your Connect card, or you can register on the website that says right here, and let us know how many of you are coming and attending, because that helps with food. It's hard to guess with a big church. So that's one piece of it. Second, that annual meeting, we get to hear kind of a report back of this past year, also a vision moving ahead into this year, 2025, what we believe God is doing. And also, for those of us that are members, it's an opportunity to vote for offices of the church, our elders and etc., treasurer, and all that kind of stuff. And those are posted throughout the building and will also be emailed to you later on this week. So make sure you come to our annual meeting, and whether you're a member or not, you can come and have a meal and enjoy and hear what God is doing and be a part of our church body. Like I said, we are beginning a series over these next 2 months on Galatians. And one of the I guess you call them toys or sets of things that we have at our house, are magnetiles. Anybody have these magnetiles in your own house or have seen these before? A few hands are raised. Magnetiles are great. It's super easy to build things with magnetiles because they're magnetic and they stick together. Often, these are all my youngest daughter's magnetiles, and we would play these. She still plays with them, and you can build things rather rapidly or quickly. And whether it's buildings or castles or forts or tunnels or whatever it might be, you just get to build, and you can build and build and build. Now, what would you guess would be one of the best parts of then when you build something is what? Yeah, I see where you're going. Crashing it. And I guess, you know, that also is one of the main goals of my daughter. And I have these memories of the two of us building things. And after a while, I think she would often get bored with whatever she was building. And then she'd look over and see what I was building. And of course, like for me, it's serious. And I'm building something big, strong, tall, you know, they have big castles, put some dinosaurs or whatever, dolls, whatever we're playing with. And then she would just look over, and then I'd be grabbing another piece, and she would go, and I'd turn around, and she'd laugh, and ha, 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 and I would have to laugh, otherwise. And then once I started laughing, then that was the game. That was the game, right? Then you build something else, and she would smash it down, and build something else, and smash it down. Galatians is similar, where Paul has written a letter to the people of Galatia, and as we read from his letter, we are understanding that he laid the foundation of the gospel, and there are other people, other groups, other sources of people that have come along and have seen this and thought, let's knock that down. So over the next, these 2 months, as we look through Galatians, as we study through Galatians, as we pray through Galatians, as we hold God's word and say, what does it have for us today? Have this image that we have a foundation in Christ that is sure, but we're also in a world where people don't like that certainty. And there are others that are trying to knock that down. So, as we do this, and as I said, Galatians written by a guy named Paul. And if you've been here the last month, we all of a sudden this jumped a lot of years in the Bible, or a lot of pages in the Bible. We started just last week. Remember what we talked about last week? Uh-oh. Wow. How was your New Year's? The Magi. There we go. Oh, yeah, you guys got it. The Magi, Jesus was born, you know, Christmas Eve, right? The Magi came and, you know, come bearing gifts. And then all of a sudden today we're talking about Paul. So how do we go from there to here? I have a quick this graphic for you to help us understand. This is how we go from Jesus to Paul. So Jesus comes down in flesh. He is born. He then lives and walks on earth in flesh, real person, 100% humanity, 100% deity at the same time. He's teaching. He's preaching. He's doing miracles. He is parables and having conflicts with people, having disciples that he's teaching. And in this walk, he is just walking this life. And eventually, after this three-year earthly ministry, he ends up in Jerusalem. And in Jerusalem, we realize that he is betrayed, he is arrested. And then his whole mission, his whole purpose is to die on the cross for us, because to reconcile us with God, there needed to be like a payment to be made. And that's what he does for us on the cross. He sheds his blood so we don't have to. After he dies on the cross, then 3 days later, he is resurrected, he rose, And then he appears to disciples, to people, apostles, and then he goes to heaven. He ascends. Before he goes and he ascends, he says, I'm going to send the... All right, good. He's going to send the Holy Spirit, and that's what happens. The Holy Spirit then at Pentecost in Acts chapter 2. So we have Jesus' life, his story, everything else, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. Then we have Acts right after that. And Acts, at the beginning in Acts chapter 2, the Holy Spirit comes. It's the third member of the Trinity, and then comes to live and dwell in the believers and empowers them. And then through the power of the Holy Spirit, then these apostles, disciples, they start spreading the news and the church starts to begin and to grow and to move. And one of those apostles, one of those people that are taking the word of God, this wonderful news of what Jesus has done to the rest of the world, is a guy named Paul. You first encounter him, his name is Saul, but for today we're just going to call him Paul, okay, the whole time. He changes his name. Because the life of Jesus changes things. And his name is changed to Paul. And that's how we go from Jesus all the way down here down to Paul. Okay? Good? Okay. Awesome. All right. So with that, Paul writes this letter to the Galatians. We'll talk about the Galatians in a few minutes. But first, let's read here. If you have a Bible, I hope you do, open it up. Galatians 1, if your Bible is electronic, stop scrolling your Twitter feed and turn to Galatians 1 or open up your Bible app. It's also in the sermon notes here as well. I'll start by reading Galatians 1, 1 through 5. And from the NIV this morning, Paul, an apostle, sent not from men nor by man, but by Jesus Christ and God the Father, who raised him from the dead, and all the brothers and sisters with me, to the churches in Galatia, grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age, according to the will of our God and Father, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. So the letter begins, Paul. Who is Paul? Well, Paul, an apostle. Paul, he is an apostle. Paul was an apostle. And what is an apostle? An apostle, this word actually is means a messenger. So you give someone a message and they go and travel and they take it someplace else. That's an apostle, generally. We can think of, a few times in my life, I've been at the grocery store when I've said, okay, I need a price check on this because the price I saw is not what the scanner came up with here. And then what does the person do? They call somebody and they say, hey, you need to go and check on the price. So the person goes, they check on the price, and then they bring it back. They're the messenger delivering the message. Or in schools, my kids' schools, they often have a teacher, or the teacher will say, hey, can you go take this note down to the office, or vice versa, the office down to the teacher. And so this person then delivers, takes this message from one to another, and they pass it. They are a messenger. They are, in general terms, they are an apostle. Or if I say to my kids, hey, Joanna, go tell your brother he needs to go get in the shower. And if Joe just goes and says, hey, Nate, you need to go get in the shower. He's like, I don't know. What are you going to say? You're just my sister. But then if she says, Dad told me to tell you to go get into the shower, that has a different weight, right? It has a different authority. So then that way my kids can act as a messenger. Now, if we're talking specifically, Paul is an apostle of Jesus. He has a different level of what this word apostle means. Biblically, in our New Testament, we understand that an apostle, when it says an apostle, is a person that saw the risen Christ, that saw Jesus, and then also received a specific calling or a commissioning to go and share this word, this good news about Jesus, to the rest of the world. And we know Paul then is, he saw at his conversion, Acts 9, and kind of one of your assignments this week would be, you can read through some of these, as they're listed out in the sermon notes, some of these places in Acts if you want to learn more about Paul and his journeys, or Galatians. It'll help you in the next 2 months as we go through this together to kind of have that background and understanding. We can't share everything from up here. So Paul has this experience with Jesus, sees the risen Lord. He then has this message that Jesus gives him, is to go and take this message, take this good news to the Gentiles. And so he then is an apostle. And so that, in this sense, this is what it means, that he has derived authority from Jesus Christ to go and tell the truth to others, very specifically. And what he also writes is derived authority from God's word here. Okay? And then as we read in Galatians, that authority comes under question, which is why then Paul is writing, and he's writing to address this, and we can read about it in the rest of Galatians chapter 1. And Paul then, after he says he's an apostle, letter B, says Paul was sent by Jesus Christ, not man. Again, he's then starting to defend and clarify where he is getting this apostleship, where he is getting his apostolic authority. And he says it's not from men, as we can guess that that was being said. We can infer, kind of like a letter is like a phone call when you only hear one side of it. And we have to then go ahead and discern and take in and put piece together the whole picture. And from what Paul is writing here, we have this understanding that his apostleship authority was coming under scrutiny. And so he's laying out the reason why what he is sharing is from Christ, is from Jesus, and why they need to be paying attention and listening. So he's having like people trying to come and attack the house, that the foundation that he's helped to build about Jesus, okay? And so he's starting to address this later on in verses 11 and 12 in chapter 1. He writes, "I want you to know, brothers and sisters, that the gospel I preached is not of human origin. I did not receive it from any man, nor was I taught it. Rather, I received it by revelation from Jesus Christ." And he talks about how he received that revelation in the rest of the chapter. So we have it with his authority. And I think in somewhat of a similar way, we can also have a challenge to the authority in our culture, in our world, about this book, about God's word. And, this is a 2,000-year-old book. What good is it? And how do you know that's even true? Who are these people that put it together? It's, you know, we might come across this sort of, like, scrutiny to try and knock down the foundation that we have. And if I could share with you in a really quick moment here that the Bible has been the most scrutinized book ever. And it has found to be the most accurate, the most tested and true and reliable than any other book, ancient book, book of antiquity. It blows every other book that we take. We don't have questions necessarily about Caesar or Roman history, even like the copies. They have like 10 copies of some of those works. And we have, there's over 24,000 manuscripts of God's word that have been written over the centuries that match up and line up with over 99.99% accuracy. The word of God that we have can be trusted. It is true. It is God's word, his love letter, his word to us. So Paul clarifies that he's an apostle. He has been sent from God, not from man. And then he includes this word about the resurrection in the intro, which is different than outside of Romans. He doesn't include a talk about the resurrection. But again, that is this hinge point in our faith. It's the resurrection. Because letter C, Jesus' resurrection indicates that the new age has come. No longer are believers under a Mosaic covenant. He actually goes in later on, he talks about the Abrahamic covenant here in Galatians. But he gives us a new covenant, and this new covenant that he gave is what changes Paul's life. And, you know, when you read through Acts, he talks about that as well. You can look up Acts 13, 38 through 39 if you want a reference. One more thing we learn about that is letter D, Paul is not alone. So he's an apostle, he's sent by God, he is firmly planted in the resurrection, and then he's also not alone. He says, this letter, all the brothers and sisters with me. He's not alone. And depend on you, what scholar you want to kind of follow, there's not a definite answer. They think, some of them think that after his, almost everyone agrees that sometime either during or after his second missionary journey, Paul had three of them, that after visiting through Galatia again, then he writes this letter to them, whether he was in Corinth or whether he was in Ephesus. Some think he could have been in Thessalonica, or some think that he was in Antioch, these different places. Regardless, we know that he's not alone there. He's not living in isolation. He's with other brothers and sisters. And this is another main theme that we see in Galatians, that 10 different times he mentions, hey, you, brothers and sisters. He talks about the household of faith. He talks about God, our Father. So we have this image of how the church is described as a family. And when we become believers, we have a new family, this heavenly family, brothers and sisters in Christ. And Paul tells them, hey, brothers and sisters here in Galatia, I'm not alone. I have brothers and sisters here too. So those are four things that we learn about Paul. Now, the Galatians, because he writes to the churches in Galatia. And when we think of church, we often think of building. If you would just kind of set that thought aside, think congregation. A church is not a building. A church is people. And Paul says to the churches, to the congregations there in Galatia. Now, this is the only letter that Paul wrote that wasn't to one specific, like, city or congregation. Like, Rome, it's to the church in Rome. Corinth, to the church in Corinth. In Ephesus, the church in Ephesus. Philippians, the church in Philippi. It goes on and on. Except right here, to the church is in Galatia. Why is that? Who are the Galatians? And so Galatia is not a city. Galatia is actually a region that holds many cities. It's a region that holds many cities. I have a map up here that'll appear. That this is, the lines on here kind of depict Paul's first missionary journey. Starting out in the green dot, he traveled down south off the map to Cyprus, and people he witnessed to there told him, go up to this place called Pisidian Antioch, which is the top left red dot. And it's also in this yellow zone of Galatia. Galatia was a Roman province. We might think of like a state, okay? And from there, he travels from Pisidian Antioch over to Iconium, down to Lystra. Lystra is where Timothy is from. And on the second journey, he picks up Timothy and says, hey, come and do this with me. And then over to Derbe, and then, you know, back again. So this is the journey that Paul took, and it's along a main Roman road, and that's where the Galatians are, kind of in central modern-day Turkey. It's like if today he wrote a letter to the Ohioans, and then to the Ohioans would include some cities on a main road of I-75, and we would think, oh yeah, Toledo, and the big city of Lima, and then we have Dayton, and then we have Cincinnati, all along that road. So think of as Galatians as a larger community of churches together, all right? Because church is not just one church. We are the church as well, okay? So, then in verse 3, Paul gives this greeting. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. This is very standard. You could flip to any letter, pretty much, and you'll find that is almost word for word the standard greeting, you know, in Rome, grace and peace to you from God our Father, Lord Jesus Christ, to in Philippians, Ephesians, Colossians, Thessalonians. This is how Peter greets and he writes his letter. This is how John, when he writes his little epistles, starts this. And then they stop. And then it begins. Every other letter begins with the main topic or a prayer or some kind of blessing. But Galatians is different. And I think because of what Paul was encountering, he's like, I gotta resort and reestablish what the truth is. Because it seems like it's falling apart there. So what he says then is like, oh, we gotta pay attention to this. Grace and peace to you from God our Father and Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 4, who gave himself for our sins to rescue us from the present evil age according to the will of our God and Father. For Paul and what is happening there in Galatia, it is so important for them to be reminded again what Jesus did. It's not enough to say grace and peace to you. Let me remind you what the grace is. The grace is that Jesus died on the cross for our sins. He has rescued us. Think of God rescuing the Hebrews out of Egypt. Rescued, delivered. But he has taken our sins, our transgressions, our shame, all of that was placed upon him on the cross. He has taken that for us. And there's nothing that we can do to get right with God on our own. There's nothing that we can do. And there was apparently this other outside group sharing, you still need to do things. Something still needs to happen. You still need to follow pieces and parts of this Mosaic Old Testament law. You still need to follow these certain days. You need to follow these certain practices for you to be holy, for you to be set apart. And Paul's like, no. So letter C, Paul reminds the Galatians of God's grace and the work of Jesus. And again, this was hard for people to accept because they're so used to needing to do something. Don't you feel like you need to do something to earn it? When we feel that way, we have to earn salvation, make ourselves right with God. That's coming against what really is the truth. So therefore, every place, back on that map, every place he went, and if you read, you know, 13, 14, 16, 18 of Acts this week, you'll see every place he went, there was conflict, and there was a debate over grace and the law. There was this constant tension where freedom was being challenged. So now the rest of this introduction, verses 6 through 10. Paul writes, I am astonished that you are so quickly deserting the one who called you to live in the grace of Christ and are turning to a different gospel, which is really no gospel at all. Evidently, some people are throwing you into confusion and are trying to pervert the gospel of Christ. But even if we or an angel from heaven should preach a gospel other than the one we preach to you, let them be under God's curse. As we have already said, so now I say again, if anybody is preaching to you a gospel other than what you accepted, let them be under God's curse. Am I now trying to win the approval of human beings or of God? Or am I trying to please people? If I were still trying to please people, I would not be a servant of Christ. So in these few verses, we now see Paul's continuing to set it up for the rest of the letter. The reasons he is writing again. Again, the foundation is being scrutinized. It's being attacked. It's actually, what Paul says, it's being perverted. It is being corrupted. It is being distorted. It is being twisted. So number one, certain people are bringing confusion and distortion to the gospel. And you know that's trying to be done today. Perversion and distortion, discreditation to the gospel of God's grace. Secondly, he writes encouragement to them not to desert or to run away or to turn away. Paul says that he is astonished. He is shocked at how soon and how quickly this is happening. And the third thing, reason that he's writing, is because the truth of the gospel matters. And it is serious. He is calling down curse of anyone that is shifting this gospel. Anyone that is saying that it is by some sort of work or your own effort for you to be right with God, that is a perversion of the gospel. And this is like he's calling down damnation upon them, even upon himself, if somehow it shifts in him. So as we close, four applications. I think four different, like, I think lessons even from this introduction here in Galatians for us today as we think about things that are trying to come and press in and knock us down. They are the Word of God, the family of God, the grace of God, the audience of God. Four things we need to be aware of. First, the Word of God. And I ask you some reflection questions and encourage you later on today is to have some conversation with someone about your thoughts around this. Do you have a regular rhythm or pattern of reading and studying God's word? Right? If we're not in this truth, if this is not our foundation, then we can be blown back and forth by any sort of truth. It says, the word of God is living and active, sharper than any double-edged swords, divides soul and spirit, joints and marrow. It judges the thoughts and attitudes of the heart. This is God's word to us. And if we are not making a regular pattern, a regular practice to be in his word to us, then things could happen. What is your pattern like? What's your daily practice? Is it an afterthought? Is it if I can get to it today? Or is it primary? To be reminded again of how much God loves you and his grace is upon you. Second, the family of God. How do you intentionally engage and interact with other brothers and sisters in Christ? We can't be, this is an old phrase, a lone ranger Christian. We can't really go it alone. I mean, if Paul is saying he isn't alone, how do we expect we can be try and do it alone? And if the general motivation is you try and come in and out of here without being recognized or known or engaged with others, then we got to be careful if we're not going to engage with each other. How do you intentionally interact and engage with other brothers and sisters in Christ? To be a family. Third, the grace of God. Where or in what ways are you tempted to earn salvation with works or actions? I think one big thing that comes up against us is shame. Satan's really good at casting shame upon us, and we feel bad and we have shame. There's a difference between what guilt is, if I've wronged someone, then I confess, but to live in something that, I'm not good enough, I don't have, that's shame. That's not the truth of the gospel of who we are. Have you been receiving God's grace? That just how you are right now, you are beloved by the Lord. And finally, the audience of God. He only mentions this in verse 10, but the whole intro is about this. It's about who is he living for? Because the gospel of Jesus, for some reason, is not popular. And when we go about talking about God and living in a way that is different than those that are around us, we might become targets. The gospel of Jesus, if we're living to please those around us and holding back from sharing about the grace, about the love, about the mercy, about the gift of Christ in our lives, we don't want to be ashamed of the gospel. And we know Paul was not ashamed of the gospel. Times and places, even in one of those cities, I think it was Lystra, he was, you know, stoned to the point where they thought he was dead and they dragged him outside because his message was so anti of what they wanted to hear. Are you seeking the approval or praise of people, or are you living for an audience of one? Overall, Galatians is a battle. And these next 2 months, we're going to jump into the battle, and I would invite you and encourage you to jump in with us. Spend some time this week reading some of those chapters in Acts or the rest of Galatians 1. Next week, we'll be jumping in with chapter 2. We're going to finish and close this morning, I think, in a very appropriate and beautiful way, and that is by celebrating communion together. Especially here at the beginning of the year, it seems like the first Sunday of the year that we get to be a family and be reminded together of the grace and the work of Jesus, and we remember what he did for us is a beautiful thing. It's a beautiful thing. Kind of in line with this, the grace of God, a mentor of mine several years ago took a cup as we were getting ready to have communion, and then he just turned it over and held it like this, just to visibly show that the judgment that was poured out, Jesus took it. But for you and for me, the judgment of God is, it's already taken. Jesus has taken, like the word says, our sins upon him. So as we take communion this morning, it is done in remembrance. And if you don't have some elements, just raise your hands. Our ushers have baskets full, so we have some hands up over here and over there. So we are reminded on the night when Jesus was betrayed, he gathered in the upper room with his disciples and he took bread. He broke it and gave thanks. And he said, "This is my body. This is my body which is broken for you." Out of an immense amount of love for you, he placed himself on the cross. Take and eat. Then in the same way, after supper, he took the cup. After giving thanks, he gave it to his disciples and said, "This is the cup of the new covenant, my blood shed for you for forgiveness of sins. Do this as often as you drink of it in remembrance of me." In the cup, we are reminded of his love and his sacrifice for us. Do this in remembrance. Take and drink. Lord God, Jesus, we are thankful. God, we're thankful for a firm and solid foundation that you have given to us. We are thankful for the reminders of Paul's letter to the Galatians that remind us of your sacrifice. God, we are reminded that we are not alone, that we have brothers and sisters in Christ, that where we are running this race together. God, as we start this new year together, may 2025 be for each of us a year filled and full of your grace. God, may we continue to be part of your great work here on earth. We thank you, Jesus. We love you. Amen.
Worthy of all. Yeah.
invite you to come and receive prayer this morning. We have several of our prayer teams up here. I think the word is you are not alone. Whatever you're going through, I know life is hard and there is hurt and pain. Come have some of your family pray for you, pray with you. As you go out this week, may you go with the love of the Father, through the grace of the Son, through the power of the Holy Spirit. Amen.